Today, I'm sitting down with Steve St. Pierre from Menace Podman. It's season two of the analyst interviews, the first episode. This should be a fun one. It's time for Balls Deep. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. My name is Adam King. I'm your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. We are back for season two of the analyst interviews. We had about 15 or 18 or something last season. So if you have nothing else to do, go and check them out. They're over on our YouTube channel. They were good. They went well. They were received well, hence a second season. I'll bring in Steve from Menace Podman. Steve, thanks for squeezing me into your busy afternoon schedule.
It's more like the other way around. Thank you, man. Appreciate the honor and privilege. And this will be another fun one, like you said. And that's a fantastic intro, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, it does mean... I love that song. It means we can't monetize on YouTube because of the copyright. But look, if we ever get big enough where monetizing is actually worthwhile, then we'll have to change it. But at the moment, I just like that song. So,
yeah. When you were on our podcast, that's one thing that we didn't discuss was music. We'll definitely, I plan on bringing that up today. So,
yeah, look, I don't think we'll be short of topics to discuss. We sort of figured out pretty quickly when I was on your show. Well, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks. I don't know when it was, but
yeah, it was something like that.
Similar age, similar sort of upbringing in terms of lifestyle and that sort of thing. So, we'll have a lot to chat about. Look, I mean, we'll get straight into it. I should have realized this from as soon as I saw it, but. I think I was driving. I don't know. I was thinking anyway, why the hell are you called Menace Podman? And then I thought, surely it's something to do with Dennis Rodman.
It is.
And that's why number 91 is in my Twitter handle, because of Dennis Rodman.
Oh, nice.
And
that's awesome.
License plate on my car, my registration is Triple H, because I like the wrestling. I like Triple H. And then 091 because of Dennis Rodman. So he was my... favorite player growing up, and I'm assuming likewise you like Dennis Rodman, hence
so Scott and I both really like Dennis Rodman. Scott came up with the name. He actually came up with a few different names and we kind of discussed it together, and we both, you know, were sold on Menace Podman. We actually did an episode last year, probably like in March. It was like right around the time the regular season was winding down and stuff. We talked all about it. We talked about how we got into it and, you know, how we came up with the name and everything. But basically, we wanted to do something that, you know, kind of rhymed with his name. And, you know, so right away he thought of Podman. And
yeah.
Makes sense, you know, two men in a pod. Yep. And then it was, you know, coming up with the, you know, what rhymed with Dennis. And he was going down the, you know, down the whole list. And finally, he came up with Menace, and he was just like, man, that sounds really good. Menace Podman. And he asked me about it, and I was like, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great name. So I don't know, like I said, why I didn't think of it as soon as I saw it. But I guess on your show, Menace Podman, you guys are relatively new to the fantasy basketball space, I suppose, if compared to some of the other guests that I've had on.
Absolutely.
So for you, well, I guess for you, personally, we were going to have Scott on today, but life gets in the way. We know that.
So it sure does.
With him at some point. Yeah. But I guess for you personally, how did you sort of come to be one of the Menace Podman getting into fantasy basketball and where we are now?
Yeah. So I have a relatively healthy relationship with basketball, but it's an obsession for sure. It's a relative obsession.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing
with
wrong
the
with
game.
That.
And we discussed this on our show before too.
Yeah.
So you kind of already know this, but I live and breathe hoops. And really always have. I fell in love with the game when I was in fourth grade. I had this teacher who would take a handful of us at recess and just shoot around with us. And, you know, I'm tall and have always been really tall. And he noticed that and said, you know, hey man, you should look into playing a little bit. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And he wound up telling my parents about it at like parent teacher conferences. And, you know, we kind of all had a discussion about it. And then NBA Jam came out and that completely changed my life. And I was hooked on hoops ever since. I wound up playing all throughout high school. I didn't play my senior year for the school. I wound up actually forming my own team, kind of doing like a rec thing, which turned out to be great. And then I continued to play, you know, intramurals and stuff all through college. Continued to play with friends and that's actually how Scott and I met. So Scott and I are actually cousins-in-law. My wife and I are cousins. And so when we met, we both realized that we had a mutual liking to basketball. And he played at the time, too. So I said, hey, you should just come hang out with all my friends and I. And let's play some hoops. And so now we're all like best friends. And we've all gone to games. We've all played. And obviously now that we're getting a little bit older, we're having our own families and stuff. And so now, you know, a lot of us have kids. And I've mentioned on our pod several times that my kids play. And I've transitioned now into coaching. So I coach them. And I have one of my really good friends actually helps coach with me. But we all kind of keep up with it. We all talk to each other. And it's just so we share that bond. And so the game's just always been a part of my life. But we actually a long time ago now, probably like 10 or 12 years ago, something like that, a group of us started our own. We wanted it to be our own sports network. It really was essentially just a blog at the time.
Yeah.
We had aspirations of growing it into something more than that, too, you know, like a podcast or multiple podcasts. And it just never quite materialized beyond just a handful of articles that we wrote together. And so then a few years ago, Scott mentioned to me, you know, hey, I'm interested in maybe starting a podcast, you know, it's specifically a basketball pod. And I was like, yep, let's do it. And there was no hesitation. And so we started off on a site called ColorCast, and they're no longer around. They've actually transitioned into what's now Outlier.bet, and we actually have kind of a partnership with them on our pod. But we did that for several months. It was probably like 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. But we said, you know, we need to get our own real show that we can put all across, you know, the net, you know, and anywhere you find podcasts. And that's when we started Bendis Podman. And, you know, it's been just about 2 years now and it's been fantastic. And, you know, he and I have both played fantasy a long time. He's been kind of in and out. He's talked about it in the past. He took some time away from fantasy basketball and then was kind of drawn back in during the bubble.
You
know, during COVID and everything, he got kind of drawn back into it. But I've always been into fantasy basketball. I started back in the year 2000. It was my senior year of high school. A buddy of mine started a league and asked me if I wanted to be in it. And I've been playing and I've been in that league ever since. I took over as commissioner. It's now like my main home league that I'm in with all of our friends. And on top of that, I do a few other leagues and obviously, you know, through this space, gotten to know a lot of great people and just have all kinds of discussions and conversations and just broaden our horizons. And I'm obsessed with it, like I said, and we talked about it on our pod, you know, with you. you know, it's all year round. It never ends. The NBA now never ends. You know, as soon as the season's over, we've got all the off-season stuff. We've got free agency, the draft, summer league, all of it. And I'm obsessed with all of it.
Yeah, look, it is certainly a 365-day league sport now. I guess to some degree fantasy takes a bit of a break sort of from now in terms of leagues and that sort of thing. And a lot of people do check out at this time of year. And we're recording this early July. So California Summer League started yesterday. Mm-hmm. The real Summer League, I suppose, starts in, what, 3-4 days, something like that, I think. The Olympics are 3 weeks away, anyway, the end of July. So while fantasy does stop, it's certainly not like it used to be. And I mean, I'm already, this is more a me thing, but I'm already running mocks. We've got a dynasty mock. I've already got plans for other mocks. And obviously I'm recording these shows and even a lot of the bigger shows now are still recording weekly episodes. And 3 years ago, that was not the case. Even 2 years ago,
that's
everything's
correct.
Shut down. So I do think it's turning into a 12-month thing now. And for anyone that is listening, I mean, thanks, because this is the time when you should be checking out.
And it's proof to what you're saying, that the interest is there, you know.
And
so Scott and I said, you know, this is a great time to be doing this. You know, it is growing. And, you know, more and more people want this content all year round. So, you know, I agree. We appreciate it. And it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to sit down and just talk hoops.
It is. And I think it's a real advantage for anyone that has eyes on playing fantasy again next year. Even just listening to a weekly podcast or reading an article or two a week, it just keeps you in the loop and sort of puts you just a step ahead of your opponents, whether that's friends or not. I think it's certainly beneficial if you've got the time. But again, I do understand if you wanted to take 3 months off, and not everyone is as degenerate as us. So I get that.
And there are other sports out there too, but
there are.
It's not the same though.
No, look, I've tried getting into baseball this year a little bit. I've watched a few games. To me, I feel like me watching baseball would be like a lot of Americans trying to watch cricket. And if you're not bought up on baseball, like, to me, I understand what's going on, but it feels like a slow sport.
Yes, and I'll take it a step further. As an American who was brought up on baseball, it's hard for me to watch it, and it's really hard to do fantasy. It's just there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
too many players, in my opinion. I mean, it's obviously a very popular sport here.
Yeah,
it's probably still more popular than basketball. Although that's kind of hard to say now. It's close. It's definitely still very popular, and a lot of people do fantasy baseball. But I've tried it too. And it's definitely not for me.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, I mean, people, if I was interviewing someone and I was talking about cricket, I love cricket because I grew up on cricket. And so I can watch it. I can play fantasy cricket. But it's certainly a very slow game as well. So, yeah. They're not dissimilar in that way. So fantasy, I mean, has been a thing for you for quite a while. Then you said the year 2000 is when you started, and but the show is relatively new. So outside of fantasy, I mean, I know the answer, as you said, we have discussed this kind of thing, but outside of fantasy, work-wise, some of the guests that I have on this show are lucky enough that this is their full-time job. This is what they do. This is what they spend their life doing. I'm not that lucky.
You're not neither am lucky. I.
No. So outside of fantasy basketball, when you're not doing this, what is it that you do work-wise to be able to sustain a lifestyle that enables you to do fantasy as a hobby?
Yeah, so that's kind of twofold. So my job specifically, I'm a paraprofessional. And my job, as most people out there know, teachers are notoriously underpaid. So I'm sure you can figure out that Parapros aren't paid any better. In fact, it's actually lower. But I'm fortunate, very fortunate. And I'm not just saying this because she's around the corner, but I'm married to an engineer who makes good money. And that allows me to have the freedom and flexibility to be able to dabble into other things like fantasy basketball. And, you know, it's not always easy. We do have to kind of work around our schedules, but we do make it work. And it's fun, and it works out really well. And they kind of go well together because, you know, I work at schools, you know, with other kids, and, you know, depending on their age and stuff, we can have conversations about sports and about basketball. And I can, you know, in some cases, I worked at a middle school before. I was telling all of them about my podcast, and, you know, some of them were even going on YouTube and stuff, and they were listening to it. And yeah, it's awesome, you know, and it's a nice icebreaker. I like to have a lot of fun with it. I like to kind of, you know, tell my teachers about it and put up stickers in the break room and stuff, just kind of, you know, hype it up a little bit extra and just have fun with it, you know? So.
Yeah. And look, I'm very similar. The fact that, that my wife, I mean, the fact she lets me do this is amazing, but in a position to be able to do this, and it's sort of a hobby that goes too far for a lot of us and it becomes more important to us. That's right. Not surprising to hear that. And it's been, it's been a sort of a pretty crazy, I don't even know how long it's been now that I've been sort of doing this. It's probably 7 years working in the fantasy basketball space. And as I said, some are lucky enough to be able to do it full time. And if you ever get on a show with Alex Reclean, and sort of have a chat with him. So he's a teacher, but he actually teaches adults, and he would have to confirm this because I'm not 100% sure of all the details, but basically he runs a fantasy sports course at TAFE University kind of thing. So he teaches.
I was not aware of that. Yes, I will have to dig into that a little bit. That
So he often sort of sends out emails to some of the groups that we're in looking for people who would like to be interviewed for his course. Like his students want to interview people that work in this space and that sort of thing. So, I mean, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Like when fantasy basketball is, you can combine that with what you do. And then obviously there's people like, Josh Lloyd comes to mind because he's just front and center, but Dan Bespris, these guys who do it for a living.
They do it every day.
And I don't know if I could do it every day because I do have, much like you, like I have my other job and my other life, I suppose, where I work with autistic kids and families and supporting them every day. And it does give me a good break from fantasy sports. And I have enjoyed, like I said, it is a bit of a downtime now. I have enjoyed not having to do as much.
We have families, man. We got to spend our time with our own kids, you know, and obviously our wives and everybody else, friends and stuff. So, it's a good mix. It's good to kind of, you know, blend them all together.
And so I guess seamlessly transitioning then into families. I have a wife and I have two kids, and my kids are, my daughter's just turned 17. My son's 14 in just under 2 weeks. Pretty self-sufficient now. They don't sort of require me to be here as much, which is nice. But for you, I mean, what does your life look like outside of work and employment?
Mine's basically just like yours, but like a few years behind. So I too have a boy and a girl. My son is the older of the two. He will be in just a couple of weeks. He'll be turning 10. And my daughter turned 7 in April. So it's a fun time for us right now because this is like prime, you know, participation with them. You know, this is before the teenage years. You know, I'm sure you're starting to go through that where they kind of want to be on their own. They kind of want to do their own thing. Right now, my kids very much still want me in their lives every single day. And I appreciate that. And, you know, I've talked about it on my pod and you and I have discussed it already, but my son plays basketball and I actually coach him. So, you know, we're playing a lot together. We're playing a lot of one-on-one, a lot of horse. I'm just like teaching him a lot of stuff. And then he has a lot of friends and a lot of people that we know mutually, you know, obviously teammates and stuff, and we're playing and teaching them too. So yeah, it really works out well, and it's a lot of fun. And then even just outside of basketball, just everything else that they go through, you know, parties and obviously when they're in school, you know, helping them with their schoolwork and, you know, staying focused on getting those grades as high as possible. And, you know, not to brag too much, my kids are both doing really well. You know, my son, both of my kids are very, very active. They're in like basically anytime that the school does any kind of extracurricular activity, if there's any kind of group or anything, we always tell them like, you can do it, sign up for it and do it. I mean, obviously don't overwhelm yourself. And if you ever feel like it's too much to handle, then speak up, just say the word and we can kind of, you know, rearrange things and, you know, kind of reprioritize a little bit. But until then, like, be as active as possible. And, you know, my wife and I both subscribe to that way of living. And I think it works out really well. I think it just kind of, you know, shows how to be responsible all throughout life and how kids need to prioritize and focus on the things that matter most. And it just works out really well. And from a parent, you know, it's great to be able to watch that and just kind of see it all unfold.
Yeah, it is. And you are right. I mean, as they get older, they become more independent, that sort of thing. I mean, our son, he's, well, technically still 13, so he's still pretty reliant on us. Whereas my daughter, not so much. I mean, she's still here and still does rely on us. But, yeah, we have the whole the boyfriend thing now. Like, the boyfriend's here or she's at her boyfriend's house. And
I'm dreading that. I guess.
It's certainly an adjustment.
It's coming, though.
Yeah, and you sort of think back to when I was her age and what I was doing, and then sort of puts things in perspective a little bit and say, okay, well, actually, that's not too bad. And look, I mean, she's been with her boyfriend. I mean, who knows? At that age, you don't know how long these things are going to last. But she has been with her boyfriend for almost a year, which at that age is pretty good effort, I think. So your priorities change and the things you're dealing with change, but they do certainly keep you grounded, which is good. And I guess the third thing, like in terms of when you're not working, fantasy basketball would be a hobby, but do you have any other hobbies outside of basketball or fantasy basketball? What else do you enjoy to do?
I joke with Scott that I don't actually have a lot of hobbies and that I'm kind of boring. And that's why a lot of our other friends, I don't hang out with them as much as they hang out with each other. We joke about how they all golf and I don't.
Yeah.
A lot of them are into like darts and stuff like that. I mean, I've done it, but I don't do it regularly, so I suck at it. And all kidding aside, I do have a lot of other hobbies. And one of the hobbies that you and I didn't even get to discuss on our pod, I'm a big music guy. In fact, Scott and I both are really into a lot of different kinds of music. For me specifically, I'm a big alt-rock guy. And there are a ton of awesome artists and bands out of Australia, and I'm a big fan of several of them. You know, you could name them going back. And I mean, I grew up in the 90s. So, you know, bands like Silverchair, but even before that, 80s, you know, Crowded House, In Excess, Midnight Oil, The Church. I mean, one of my all time favorite songs right there, Under the Milky Way. Fantastic song. Anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, and we're probably dating ourselves a little bit here, but that's okay. It is what it
is. That's okay.
Can't run from it. Can't hide.
No, you have to embrace it once you hit a certain point.
Yeah. But even, now into like the, you know, 2010s and stuff like that, a lot of good, you know, and 2000s, a lot of good alt rock coming out of Australia. One of my favorite bands is the Temper Trap, mm-hmm. and they haven't done a lot. They've only come out with, I think, 3 studio albums total. But they're 3 amazing records. And I've seen them in concert. It's been a few years. I would love to see them again. Hoping for another album, but they're incredible. I don't know if you're familiar with them or if you've seen them, but yeah. I'm a huge fan. And yeah, I love music.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't sort of call myself, I guess, a muso or someone who's super passionate about music, but I listen to it a lot. I grew up obviously in the 90s, so I tend to like, I think, eras of music or just certain songs. So I'm never sort of locked into I love this band, so I've got to get their album. I'm going to like all the songs. It's more, oh yeah, I like that song. That's a cool song. And my wife and I sort of, we try to get to concerts every now and then, but we've certainly noticed probably in the last 5 years that we've sort of entered that phase where the music we hear music that our kids listen to and go, what is this? This is trash. Like yeah. we hear it on the radio. I've never heard this song. But we're
now it's YouTube. It's YouTube. Yeah. My kids are on YouTube all the time and then they're singing all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, where'd you even hear that from?
Yeah.
It's from on YouTube. And then I'll hear it like a couple weeks later and be like, that's what they've been mumbling this whole time. And you're right. Some of it is pretty trash.
And it is to
not
us,
all of it.
Not all of it. Not all of it. I'm not going to, put it all in that same bucket, but
we don't need to be grumpy old men. We can just
look, it is what it is. And that's the generation that they're growing up in, that sort of thing. But we're lucky that, I mean, we play music around the house just on weekends and things like that. And so my daughter, often I'll walk past her room and she'll be playing songs from the 90s and the 2000s. So she has absorbed some of what we listen to. And I look at what I listen to now, and that's exactly how it happened for me, listening to things growing up that my parents played on record or LP vinyl.
Different times now.
But some of those albums that I remember just being on repeat, and I love those albums for no other reason other than it just reminds me of growing up. And so a lot of the concerts that we go to and things like that now are bands from the 80s and the 90s. Like we've seen Elton John, we've seen Billy Joel, we've seen Queen. We're off to see Roxette next year, nice. Obviously without the lead singer, because she passed away a few years ago, but hoping that the person that's doing it can do it justice and do it well, which I think she will.
Yeah, for sure.
But, we try to get it off to concerts and things like that once or twice a year. We don't get a lot of concerts where we live, so we often have to travel a couple of hours, but that's fine. That's nothing.
Sounds like it's right up your alley.
Look, music is certainly something that we both enjoy and I enjoy. But it's usually listening to old stuff. Actually, we're thinking of going to see Crowded House. So they're performing at the Sydney Opera House in November, I think, November, December. So we're actually thinking of heading up to Sydney.
Do it.
To watch that, because
that'd be awesome.
They were another band that I grew up with as well. So, and look, I mean, that's another transition into, and we have talked about this, but in terms of hobbies, that sort of thing, movies for me are a big interest.
Yeah.
And I'm off to see 2 movies tonight after work. So what I guess a movie, something that you're passionate about, movies, TV shows. And
we'll get into it, but I got to ask, which movies are you seeing?
So we're going to see, so I've got a friend that we often go on a Monday night to see 2 movies because it's cheap Monday movie night here at the cinema that we go to, and the place where we go and have dinner, this will be a bit of a test. So we go to a restaurant, or it's sort of a restaurant bar kind of thing called Grease Monkey, and it's not far from where we live. It's like 15 minutes. And Monday night is there. It's a pizza, special pizza night. So for the price of a slice of pizza, you get a full pizza. And the pizza that they market the pizza as Detroit style pizza. So nice. That's where I'm just having a look if that's, if I'm right. But
it's phenomenal.
So it's the pizza is really thick. So super thick with a lot of toppings on it, which is apparently they call it Detroit style pizza. I've never been to Detroit. Is that right?
Yes. And the sauce is usually kind of like in the center. It kind of depends. Depends on the place. But yeah, it's usually square. It's usually
square.
Sauce on top, kind of just in the center.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay. And there are, all kinds of different places here locally. I've got my favorites. Definitely.
Okay, all right. Well, good to know that it's authentic there, or somewhat authentic. So we will go and have some dinner, and it's also happy hour, so the beers are cheap, so we'll have a couple of beers. And sounds then we're off to time, see. Huh? So I think we're watching Furiosa tonight, nice. Which is the fourth Mad Max movie, but the second in sort of the newer versions of the movie. And then we're watching Quiet Place Day One. So we're both huge horror fans. So it's usually at least one of the movies we're watching is a horror movie. And we're usually watching a late session, 9 o'clock at night. So often there's only three people in the cinema with us or something. So it's nice. We've got lots of space. We can spread out, put our feet up and just enjoy a couple of movies. So that's what we're doing tonight. But for you, movies, TV shows, do you have time, I suppose?
I don't really have a lot of time. And the time that I do have, I dedicate to sports and to basketball. But I am a fan of movies. I'm a real big fan of movies that I grew up with. So, again, 90s. I'm a big comedies guy. So I grew up watching Saturday Night Live. All those guys, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade, all of them, Schneider, Chris Rock, all of them, that era. And really even a little bit after that too, with like Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan. Of course, Tim Meadows, Michigander. He was in both of those he was all throughout the 90s on that show. And even prior to them, the guys from the 80s, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, but definitely the 90s. That was kind of my era. And you pretty much name any movie that any of those guys are in.
Yeah.
I've watched them religiously and grew up quoting them and stuff,
Well, I'm sure we could have a quote off for a lot of those.
We could.
Those movies. But much the same. I love that sort of era of comedy and, they're obviously still making movies, but a lot of those classic ones from the sort of the 90s, mid late 90s through to the mid 2000s, and then Will Ferrell and those guys, Night at the Roxbury. I still remember vividly seeing that at the movie.
Very underrated movie. I mean, it's not obviously it's not winning any awards or anything, but it's a funny movie and a lot of quotable stuff.
I still haven't actually made my kids watch that movie. I worry sometimes whether they'll get it. It's from a different generation of humor.
And times have changed a little bit. Some stuff that was more acceptable then isn't so much now. So it depends, but that's definitely one of my favorites. And Dan Bespris and I, when he was, shout out to him, when he was on our podcast, we referenced The Ladies Man, and that's another one. Just same thing, highly quotable
And look, I mean, although one thing that, because I watch Seinfeld religiously, so it's just on repeat. I know every episode inside out. I've watched it. I couldn't even count how many times. But my son actually loves Seinfeld, so that's. That's one thing that's he's absorbed, having it on, and he'll now actually just put it on and watch it.
I was a big fan of sitcoms too. Seinfeld. We had Home Improvement, which Tim Allen, Detroiter, Michigander, and One that I was a big fan of was King of Queens. Yeah. I watched that show pretty religiously when it was on TV. And then, like, right around the time that it ended, I wound up getting the box set. And then it went to syndication. I was watching reruns of it all the time.
Yeah.
Kevin James. And again, like, I was a huge Chris Farley fan. So when Chris Farley passed, you know,
yeah.
Kevin James was kind of that, like, next, you know, he could be the next Chris Farley, and a lot of similar, you know, humor, physical humor and stuff. So, you know, that was a natural, you know, I took a natural liking to that show.
And Jerry Stiller was in
Jerry Stiller was the man. Yeah. And they had a lot of great cameo people, you know, Jerry's kids.
Yeah.
Were both on there. His daughter was on there a ton. Okay. But Ben Stiller made a couple cameos and he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm a huge fan of comedies from the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, and
and shows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think I've only just transitioned, or not transitioned, but I guess sort of growing up. Yeah, the 90s, you just watch TV. It's pretty limited to what's on TV at that point. But then sort of hit 2000, I turned 21, and then through that sort of next 10 years, I guess. You're getting married, having kids. That's very busy.
Changes
very
things.
Very preoccupied. And so it's only probably been in the last 3 years, I want to say, that I got into The Office and Big Bang Theory. And so they're two sort of sitcoms that I have as part of my regular rotation of sitcoms.
Same here.
I just have one on the go all the time.
Yeah.
And so I like to have them, and often I'll just have them playing in the background, and my wife will be like, "You're not even watching this." I'm like, "I don't need to watch it. I can hear it."
My wife's the one who does it. We do the same thing, but more times than not, it's her putting it on.
Yeah, okay.
But we're both big fans, especially the earlier seasons of both of those shows.
Yeah.
Huge fans of both of those.
And then, look, we'll touch on a couple more things and then I'm going to let you go and I'm going to go and start my day. But in terms of, I guess we'll start with food, favorite foods.
Yeah.
I mean, food is something that I eat a lot of it. I always have. My son now eats a lot of it. What are your favorite foods, favorite dishes?
Yeah, so I didn't get to be my size by being picky. And we just talked about pizza. So I'll start there. Pizza's definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about Detroit style. We've got a bunch of really good pizza places around here. We've got chains. We've got like mom and pop type of places. They're all phenomenal in their own way. And I could eat pizza every day if I wanted to. But I'm a fan of anything and everything, really. You know, Mexican, you know, Chinese, anything. Healthy, not healthy. I try to keep it as healthy as I can. It's tough. It's tough when you have kids. My kids always snacking all the time. And, you know, sometimes I jump on the bandwagon when I shouldn't. I love food. I'm one of those types of people, like, I'll try anything. You know, I don't have a lot of, like, preferences, you know. I'm not a huge fan of like spicy, but I will try anything. If somebody's like, "Hey, this is the spiciest thing you've ever eaten," I'm probably not going to be real excited to try it. But if it's anything other than that, you put it in front of me, I'll at least try it, you know. And chances are I'll probably like it.
Yeah, I'm much the same. There isn't really much I don't eat. Again, growing up, when growing fast and then I was quite tall, very active. You just need to constantly be eating. And so you can't be picky. You just, whatever's put in front of you, you just eat it and down it goes. But it would be spiced for me. That would be the thing that I'd like if there's a pizza with jalapenos on it, I will say, please take those off.
Yeah.
I'll eat everything else. Spicy stuff. Like I'll go out with friends and I've got at least one friend, maybe a couple, that really like the hot, spicy wings. Not for me. I didn't grow up eating spice, so it's not something that that I'm used to. I'm better than I used to be, but still not great.
I had an ex-girlfriend who would put pineapples on her pizza, and I know that's a thing. I know it's a pretty popular hit thing, pretty popular yeah. choice. But for me, I don't like mixing the sweet with the with the regular pizza flavor. I just don't I don't like that combination. So I used to tell her, okay, you can get whatever you want on your half, and then I'm getting
my son likes just a ham and pineapple Hawaiian pizza like that.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, I would, I've had it and it's doable, but it's not my preference.
So I've just pulled up the menu from where I'll be eating tonight and having my Detroit pizza. And the ones I usually go for, there's a couple, there's one called the Motor City. So it has lemon chicken, pork, fennel sausage, Spanish onion, Motor City cheese blend, and coriander pesto. So I like that one. And then I often get the Meat Lover, which has beef brisket, cabanossi, pepperoni, bacon, ham, caramelized onion, Motor City cheese blend, house-made barbecue sauce. So that's they're my
the one right there.
Yeah. So they're the two. It's usually one of those two. So
honestly, both of those sound great. And I mean, just you're going with your buddy. So one of you get one of you get the other, and then you just kind of,
That's right. Half each. Yep. Yeah. And then final one. And I mean, this obviously not everyone enjoys going on holidays, but is holidaying with the family something that you do and have you got a favorite sort of location or somewhere that you like to go or just somewhere you've been even by yourself or just with your wife?
Yeah. So we're really big into vacationing. In fact, we are going later this summer to the Smoky Mountains. So that's just in next month. We're going to be going to Tennessee for that. We try to go somewhere different every year. But we do have a couple, like I would say just so we're in Michigan mm-hmm. and we're near Detroit. We're just north of Detroit, but up north, heading towards the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a lot of beautiful area. I have family that my cousin grew up there. And so we would go visit them like pretty much every summer. And so I've taken my own family up to that area and all kinds of awesome beaches and just cool places to go and see. So if I had to pick like a personal favorite, it would probably be like near the Petoskey area here in Michigan. But we've been all over. My wife and I went to Hawaii. We stayed on Maui and Oahu both, and they were both great in their own way. We did that for a honeymoon. That was one of my favorites. We took a West Coast trip. We went to Vegas, and then mm-hmm. we rented a car. We drove to Arizona. We went to the Grand Canyon, and then we drove from there. We went to LA, and we saw like anything and everything. You name it. We saw all the sights, and it was awesome. Get this. We even went to a summer league game, my wife and I. I convinced her to go. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was incredibly hot. Because at the time, Vegas, it was like 110 degrees, and we felt every bit of it. But that was definitely one of my personal favorite trips. We try to go everywhere. We usually, with our kids being younger, we try to do more like road trips, places, states around here that we can drive to. But we've flown. We went to Disney World almost 2 years ago now. Yeah. That was a great trip, and that was perfect. It was a perfect time to do it too. Our kids were at like the perfect age, because you don't want to do that when they're too young and they're not going to know anything or remember anything. Yeah. And you're just kind of lugging them around. They can't even comprehend what's going on. And you don't want them going when they're real old and bored and just, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? All the characters, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You want to go when the kids are really into it. And then you got to get that genie pass so that you can skip the lines and go on more rides and stuff. That's the way to do it. So,
yeah. I think, look, we went to Europe last year with the kids and they were 16 and 13 when we went. And I think one thing we found was, there were times during the trip when they were bored. But one benefit actually was that we were actually able to just leave them in the room and my wife and I could go like when we were in Rome. We just left the kids in the room.
My parents went, did that with my brother and I. And might be able to get away with that. And
Too young at the moment. But and then the fact that, like, just with social media and everywhere you go has Wi-Fi and that sort of thing now.
Yes.
They were actually able to stay in contact with their friends here in Australia. So even if they were
They got everything they need.
they can sort of fill their time. Obviously, we don't want them on their phone or that sort of thing the whole trip, but there are times when it's just, okay, we've done a lot of walking today, sit down, chat to your friends, and we'll go out and grab some gelato and by ourselves. So that was nice.
We went to, my wife and I went to Europe as well. And we did London, Paris, Brussels, and Amsterdam. And that was definitely one of my top favorites. Great trip. Lots of cool stuff there.
Yeah, it's very different world. I mean, every country's unique but Europe is interesting. And we're just starting to, I mean, I don't know why. My wife's already planning our 50th, which is still 5 years away. It's still a while, but it gives us something to do. But our plan is to go to
live it up,
like Norway, Iceland, Finland. Nice. That's sort of the plan to go without the kids. So
Australia's on my bucket list.
Australia's nice. It is a nice place. It's big. So if you're coming, but I mean, obviously getting around in America, I mean, size-wise, similar, but I guess the difference here is America. There's a lot more towns and cities and things sort of spread out across the country, states. Whereas Australia, like once you drive through a certain town, it could be a day before you hit a town, kind of thing. Certain areas of the country, so not as easy to drive around, I don't think, if you want to see sort of both sides of the country but anyway, very different, but very nice, Australia. So maybe one day you'll get here and who knows, maybe you'll come to where I live.
I'm down.
We'll work it out. All right, look, I've kept you long enough.
It's all good.
Before I let you go, Menace Podman, what have you got, I guess, planned for the next couple of months, and where can people find you and Scott?
That's a good question. So I'm actually not, as of right now, on social media, but I'm considering getting back on. Scott is on Twitter, at DET S Keller. Right now, we basically, like you mentioned, it's the off season for the NBA and really for fantasy basketball. So now we're getting ready to we're starting to see here in free agency. The big names have all kind of gone. A lot of rosters are starting to kind of fill up and fill out. And so now we can kind of go back, look at each team and kind of assess what they've done and kind of get an idea of, you know, which teams we think are going to be, you know, the best in terms of standings and stuff. But then we can kind of really break it down in terms of fantasy and see, you know, look at the depth charts and who do we think is going to start at each position? Who's, you know, what kind of role are they going to have, what kind of minutes and stuff like that. We could break all that down. So on our podcast, we're going to start doing that here in the next couple of weeks. We're just going to go division by division. We'll look at every team. We did it last year too. We're going to do it again this summer. Just kind of, you know, look at everybody and we'll really break it down and talk about who stands out, you know, especially with the teams that made a lot of changes, you know, and who do we think is going to play where and how are they going to fit with the guys that are already there. So that's always a fun set of discussions. And then otherwise, I mean, we'll just stay on top of the news. We'll do some fun stuff, you know, kind of like what you're doing. You know, we'll do a lot of mock drafts. You know, you and I will probably be in touch, probably work on some stuff together. As I told you before, I'm always open and definitely up for any of that. So like we said, it never ends. It just keeps going and we love it and we embrace it. And as soon as we're done here, I'm going to check the news and see if I missed anything.
Yeah. It doesn't look like much has happened.
It's quieter today. It's Sunday here. It's Monday there. So Sundays are usually a little bit more calm, but In the NBA, yeah, you never know. You blink and there's a trade, right, or
yeah, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be happening. So yeah, no, look, that's so I mean, Menace Podman are on Twitter, as a group or the show itself has a Twitter handle. It's just at Menace Podman, I think, from memory.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is. Yep. And I should clarify, we're an audio podcast right now. Yep. So we're available anywhere you get audio podcasts. YouTube and going to video is something that's in the works. It's something that we'll probably revisit here sooner than later. But as of right now, we're just audio. We're just once a week. We're usually like middle of the week, just kind of whenever we have time and whenever we deem it to be the right time for it.
Yeah. And look, I've obviously got the Pod Hub going, and so I'll always be tweeting out whenever there's a new episode. I'll be tweeting that.
We really, really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Very grateful. No, look, it's all part of the whole, one of the, probably the best parts of being in this space is the community feeling and the collaboration and working together and that sort of thing. So
it's all great people.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of great people. So it's, it's a lot of fun and very rewarding as much as the time we do put in, but we get a lot out of it as well. So thanks for coming on the show. Remember, you can find us as well. I am at AdamKing91. At FBI Basketball is our sort of umbrella handle, I suppose. Head to FBIBasketball.com. We've just started releasing our draft-only leagues, which basically fill up within about 10 or 15 minutes of us releasing them. So I think we're already up to 5 or 7 in 2 days. So I feel like we're gonna get close to 100. So if you've got nothing better to do than do a fantasy basketball draft,
now's the time.
Yeah, look, and they are fun because you draft and then you forget about it. And then maybe in 9 months or whenever the season finishes, you might find yourself winning, I think it's about $70 if you win US, which here in Australia, that's over $100. So I won 3 leagues, I think, last season, which I totally forgot about. So, yeah, if you wanted to join any of those leagues, head over to our website, or we've also tweeted out, I think in my Twitter handle, we have our Discord server. So that's where you can head in there and find out all of those details. But I've kept all of you long enough. That will do for today's show. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back with another episode of the Analyst Interviews very soon.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.